from the front yard inside Ellis Island Casino. It's Cofield and Company.
And when I woke up this morning, I was feeling pretty dangerous.
I woke up feeling dangerous!
On ESPN, Las Vegas.
I'm here.
Kickoff coming in about 20 minutes. But that was, Griffin, could you even hear the attempt at the end of that hour by Salerno?
Oh, I heard it for sure.
He doesn't have it.
Nah, he
doesn't. You are not
have
man
it.
Enough to do the Mahomes voice.
Me hey. Not man enough, or Greg not man enough. What are you talking about? Who's not man enough here for the current voice? Not a lot of people are, man. It is a hard voice to imitate.
I'm here.
This weekend, I started practicing Christmas carols because I do that because I love the holidays. And I was trying to do it in the Mahomes Kermit voice. It's hard to do a couple lines of a song. It's hard.
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
Wow. You are doing someone doing Arnold Schwarzenegger with the SNL skit. What? I don't know what that just was.
Yeah.
Poor attempt on my part. Still trying.
We love him.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire. It's Christmas.
It's the stupidest thing I've ever done.
Oh, my God. Patrick Mahomes would so hate this show.
Yeah, he would.
Gets me so angry. Last week, you were accusing us of bullying because we're calling him Kermit and the Walrus.
Yeah, you guys are mean, man. Why are you being so mean?
That's all we got.
It's true. Insults is all you can resort
to. That's all we got. I know. They just won't lose.
I know. It sucks.
All right. So I just have to make bold predictions that a 9-point dog is going to win the game outright. I think the Bucs will take the game. Now, this, keep in mind, this comes at the end of a week where the favorites went 14-1 straight up. Now, they didn't cover every game. It's still pretty good. They covered 10 out of 14. So this has not been a dog week.
I think that as time goes on, though, there's less and less dogs because you start to figure out who's good and who isn't. You know?
Nah, that's bullcrap.
You don't think so?
So what you're saying, basically, because the last 3 weeks, the last 2 weeks and then a week earlier in the season, and there's been a real good run here for favorites in general, you're telling me the sports books are going to lose a lot the rest of the season?
No.
Well, you just said if...
No, I'm saying, I mean, they win if somebody covers and they still lose. I'm saying straight up. Okay. Like, it's easier to
Historically, I don't think that's the case.
Like, after week two with the Saints, when they were blowing people out, I guarantee that they were rated higher than they're going to be rated right now going into a game. Because we know they're not good.
Well, those are interesting.
You know,
when you have a coach get replaced, what happens the rest of the way? I will have to look up the numbers on that. I wanted to find, where's my number here? Oh, yeah, so this week. Yeah, favorites are 13-1 straight up, 10-4 against the spread. Ooh, last 5 weeks, favorites ATS are 46-26-1. They're hitting at a 64% clip. That will not continue. Mark it down. It's not a bold claim. 5:03 Monday, whatever day this is, that there'll be a bounce back for the dogs. And what happens at the sports books, what they hope happens is, everyone who bets favorites is, like, flush with cash, and they say what you just said, where you're like, I mean, it's easy. Down the stretch, you know, more of the favorites will win straight up. And people get bold with their money, and then the sports books are on the comeback trail.
I bet you, if you look at the numbers, I don't have them in front of me, but I bet you the second half of the season that favorites win way more than the first half of the season. I might say again, I'm talking about straight covering.
I know. I want to see what these numbers are.
Okay. Because I'm interested now.
Yes. I don't think the data is there to back you.
Okay.
But we'll see.
I'd be surprised.
You are going to be surprised. Game's coming up here in about 15 minutes. Cofield and Company, as we start out the 5 o'clock hour here on a Monday. It's Steve Cofield, Greg Salerno, Front Yard, Ellis Island, our Kermit expert, Griffin. Back in our
I'm here.
There he is, yep. A couple other games to recap before we get back to the Raiders with R.J. Clifford. I watched a lot of that Sunday Night Football game. The Colts need to go back to Anthony Richardson.
Immediately?
I don't really see the point of playing Joe Flacco. I mean, I guess to keep the veterans interested, what should keep them interested is keeping their jobs.
Right.
But apparently there were more than a few veterans who were like, get Flacco in there. He was really mediocre last night. I'll say one thing. At 39 years old, he still has one of the best arms that you're going to see in the NFL. But unfortunately, because he can't move like he used to, he relies on his arm way too much. He threw a lot of balls like across his body. He did it like 5 times, and he completed a couple of them, and then just got really sloppy. He threw interceptions where he missed guys. They're 4-5. Like, what are they playing for?
It's true.
Are you playing for the middle of the NFL to barely get in the playoffs, or are you trying to develop here? They need to kind of crap or get off the pot on Anthony Richardson, and you can't do that if he's not playing.
I'm honestly really surprised about Richardson because, well, I know it's preseason and you know, all that stuff, but him coming into the league and him working with Steichen, and we saw him up close. They played the Eagles in a preseason game, and it looked like he had the offense down, and he was, you know, doing well. He was even doing the stupid Eagle thing in the end zone like a punk. And I was really surprised to watch how he's turned out so far. I mean, you know, it's early. I think he's like 23 years old, but still.
Well, that's the problem, right? And yeah. Steve Kim said it, our guest, back an hour and 20 minutes ago, because folks are so fired up when they draft a rookie quarterback to get him out there on the low salary. They sometimes, and you know, win with the rest of the team having higher salaries, right. And then you have to pay the quarterback, and all of a sudden your roster gets a little bit different. There's so much pressure to get him out there early. Like, why, Richardson was not a guy that needed to be out there early. He barely played in college.
Yeah,
you knew what you were signing up for, and then it's like, oh, he's not ready? Yeah, he's not ready.
I know. I don't know. I'm used to get, like, and I get the idea, like, with the Niners right now, they're going to have to pay Purdy. That might screw up their whole team if they can't do what they normally do, relying on a cheap quarterback. I get it. But a lot of guys have sat for years and been fine. Now, all of a sudden, if you don't play the first month, you suck. I just don't. It's crazy.
Well, I think the notion of getting an experienced, good bridge quarterback has gone out the window.
Yeah.
And Joe Flacco's not a bridge quarterback. He's 39 years old. You want someone who can stay healthy, can still move, someone who's had some starting experience, and if they got to cover a year and a half, before you get the young guy in, then that's what you got to do. But it's such a time of freaking instant gratification that if a quarterback can't show it immediately, but they're putting guys in bad positions.
I think that this is another case where parity kind of hurts because too many teams think they have a shot, you know, and they don't, and they go out there and make decisions like this, and you could hurt a guy forever with that.
And I'm always a fan of most of the time taking the shot and trying to get on the dance floor and trying to make things happen, but if you're just going to retard the development of Richardson and then not have an answer going into a third season, that's a disaster. So I don't know what the Colts are going to do, but they didn't look great. And I'll tell you what, on the flip side, I'm still not sold on the Vikings. Like, Sam Darnold threw some awesome passes last night, and then he threw some that made him look like old Sam Darnold. It just doesn't work, man. You can't make mistakes, the kind of mistakes he was making. They kept the Colts into the game down to an onside kick.
Well, they're another team that looked unbeatable the first few weeks, and now they've kind of showed some, you know, cracks. Obviously, the Lions have been beating everybody, but I think they're going to be okay. But, I mean, did anybody think they were going to – it's kind of like the Yankees with the pitching when you were saying when the Yankees pitching, you know, these guys look like all-starter, you know, number one pitchers, and obviously, like, dude, what did you think was going to happen halfway through the season?
Yeah, you come back to what the person really is.
Right.
And in the case of the – because you were mad – like 3 months in that the Yankees started falling apart, and it was like all five of their pitchers were overperforming. Like, Louis Heel had never done this before. There's going to be a normalization of his numbers. And now here's the thing. Maybe Darnold will dip a little bit here because now people are game planning for him, and then they make the adjustment back. I mean, his arm talent is amazing. He did throw some passes last night. We're like, wow, you know, that's a top 10 guy.
Surprising accuracy on the deep ball too, I think.
He also ran the ball a little bit. But, man, he makes mistakes. It's just like it looks – honestly, I don't want to do this to Vikings fans. It just kind of looks like Kirk Cousins. Like, is he going to make smart decisions in prime time? And Kirk was not really good at that. Now, speaking of Kirk Cousins, I'm still going to refrain from saying the Falcons are a really, really good team. I can tell you this right now. The Cowboys are trending towards being not just disappointing but a bad football team because the updates on Dak Prescott are not good. Like, it looks like he may be down for a minimum of 3 weeks with a hammy. And I forget who was saying it today. Like, oh, it was actually Ed Werder. He was on the longtime, you know, Texas area guy, and he was on with Cowherd today, which was actually kind of funny because Cowherd was getting breaking news on how serious the Dak Prescott injury was. And if you follow Ed Werder on social media, he really prides himself on being an insider.
Yeah.
And he was basically being told he was getting scooped on the team he covers the most to his face. And he was like, well, what I've heard, like,
yeah,
Ed, you're on the phone, man. You shouldn't have done this interview. Rappaport just beat you.
He's like the Cowboys Waj.
Sorry, bro.
That's funny, man. You know, I was going to ask you this earlier because we brought this up about the Cowboys. Do you think – because you remember a few years ago when Dak was out and then Cooper Rush came in, they won like four games in a row?
Yep.
Could you imagine if that happens now after they give Dak $60 million and they've been losing?
It'll be crazy. And that was my point that I got sidetracked on Ed Werder getting scooped. That's what Werder was saying. He's like, you got to remember something. When Cooper Rush came in and had his good run, that Cowboy team was a lot more equipped to win.
Yeah.
Like, they had a good offensive line. Their running backs were still popping.
Right.
Dak was playing well. It doesn't matter what Dak was doing. The rest of the team, the sure. surrounding cast, was better. I don't know. They don't look very good right now. And, you know, a lot of their success, and, you know, they weren't winning Super Bowls, but consistently being able to win 10, 11, 12 games was based on the offensive line. They hit the lottery. Give them credit, man. They nailed it. They picked a bunch of good college draftees, like 4 to 5 years, and they built an offensive line to stay together for 8 years. Well, left tackle's gone in Smith. They got two rookies starting for the Cowboys. Like, their line's not good anymore, and that was kind of their bread and butter. I mean, I don't know if you saw the rumors on Zeke. Just doesn't – he's not enthused. He was late like three times this, you know, over the last couple of weeks.
He it's been a few years now, but his burst, like, after he used to be like he would get the ball and then he's immediately, you know, a few yards ahead. It's like, man, this guy's lumbering.
Yep.
Now.
Well, you know what happens to you when – they give you 1,400 catches right. your first four seasons. And,
yeah, exactly.
And that's the whole complaint with running backs. It's like, wait, Todd Gurley. I mean, Todd Gurley's out of football. He's like 28 years old. You're like, wait, he's out? He's only 28? When they blow the tires out after 4 years.
Yeah.
So he's got nothing left, and he's not enthused. They may be in for, like, I try not to do this, get overly dramatic, because I really do think the NFL, you know, down the middle, there's a lot of teams that are basically somewhere between, whatever, 10 wins and 7 wins. They're in trouble.
They really are.
They don't look enthused. They're lacking talent. I've never thought McCarthy was a great head coach, but he was at least consistent and pretty good in the regular season. Now they don't even appear to be fired up by him.
I mean, and you got to look at the division too, which is not good for them, because normally it would be like the Eagles, Cowboys, and if the Cowboys could go on a little bit of run, catch the Eagles. Well, the Eagles are playing well, but they're not even in first place. The Commanders are. So now you got two teams. The Eagles might make the playoffs and not even win the division, and the Cowboys will be just completely out.
I don't have the odds in front of me. Commies and Eagles, just head-to-head in terms of who's going to win the division. What do you think?
Well, the Eagles' schedule down the stretch is not – I mean, it's not – they don't have very – there's no juggernauts on that. Like, every game's winnable. So I think that helps the Eagles a little bit. But, man, Jaden Daniels has looked amazing. He got a little bit of luck. I mean, that Hail Mary was – come on. But it looks great. It looks really, really good. And if they catch the Eagles on a day when they're not having their A game, I mean, that's what it's going to come down to. They still have two games against the Redskins. So, I'm sorry. The R words, the Commanders.
At Cowboys, they close out. Now, they're at Cowboys coming up. And then second to last game of the season is the Cowboys. They still play the Commies twice. Giants one more time, at Rams, at Ravens, at Steelers, and then what should be an easy one against the Panthers. You think that's easy?
Yeah.
I guess I guess if the Cowboys fold, you know.
Yeah, I mean, fold it up, fold I think up. They'll probably lose a couple of those games, but most of those seem pretty winnable.
But then what does Washington have?
Oh, man,
I got it right in front of me.
Oh, okay.
I ask, I have it. Steelers at Eagles, Cowboys, Titans. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
That's not tough.
No.
Boy, the Titans suck.
Yeah. Bad.
At Saints. That second Eagles game, home Falcons at Cowboys. That's going to be a race.
Yeah, I guess
you,
so.
You got a battle on you.
I don't like it at all, man. I never thought it was going to be like this. Usually if the Cowboys stink, it's easy. We get the rest of the division.
Back to the Cowboys. Do you think the Cowboys, do you think Jones can swallow his pride a little bit and go, you know, we need a change here. It's desperation time. McCarthy's got to go. Someone else has to get bumped up to be the head coach.
I mean, you know, they don't talk about this a lot because it's kind of morbid, but Jerry's not young. Jerry wants to win. And you think he's going to try to go out without winning another Super Bowl? So, I mean, how many years does he have left? He's already in his 80s. So, at some point, I think he's got that really, you know, teams are like win now mode. He's really in win now mode.
If you're a Cowboy fan, what are you thinking right now about this year and the future?
Well, I'm probably not really thinking because Cowboys fans are pretty dumb. But if I was thinking, I would think, you know, you got to get Jerry Jones out of there. You got to get his hands off the roster, man. I mean, you need a real GM that has control. Can't have Jerry Jones making all these moves. He's not good at it. Their last Super Bowl is on Betamax.
Does he have – I mean, it's his freaking son.
Yeah.
But and who's going to take over?
If you look at their –
He can't – yeah. There's not a moment where – listen, we saw it with the highest office in this country. There came a point where you're like, Joe, you don't know what you're saying. We don't know what you're saying. You got to get out.
Yeah.
Like, there's got to be wiser minds around Jerry Jones who are like, Jerry, just go to the games and enjoy it. We got to take over the GM and duties. And here's the other thing, and this is the problem with the Cowboys. Is Stephen Jones an exact replica, an exact chip off the block of Jerry where he's like, no, I'll take over?
That was my next question.
I mean, he's already doing it, but it.
Yeah, that was
like
my next question.
People have to realize, like, you haven't done it, okay? It's not working. I'm channeling the frustration. I love seeing this. Right?
Yeah.
But I'm channeling the frustration of Cowboys fans. Like, you can't do it. Both of you can't do it. And if they think they're going to go out, again, someone falls for it every time. And it's not even a great paying job. That's the other thing. They're like, they don't even spend the money.
Right.
Do they think they're going to go out and go, you know what? Ben Johnson is the best young head coach prospect. We're getting to him. I'm sure Ben Johnson will be like, wait, are you going to be in all of our meetings?
Right.
I'm not going to do it, sir. But, Jerry, do yourself a favor. Hang up the phone now. I have no interest in that. What's the penalty? What's going to spread around the league? Oh, Ben, you know, young Ben Johnson is rude. I think most people are like, yeah, he's right.
That's why he always winds up with those coaches, though. I mean, besides Parcells, most of the guys are like, you know, either guys that didn't have success somewhere where they did, and then they were out of the league for a minute or whatever, because he wants control. And he is not going to have a guy coming in. They're going to have a Belichick coming in there who wants control of the whole thing.
And you know what? Let's not even do this, please. Don't even do the Belichick thing. And I know it's going to be a topic the rest of the season into the offseason. He's not going. He wouldn't give up. He basically walked or got fired because he wouldn't give it up in New England. You don't think he knows what goes on in Dallas? You know, you don't think he's heard?
That's what I'm saying.
He ain't doing that.
That's why you're not getting a guy like that. So, I mean, who are you going to get anyway?
Mike Vrabel ain't doing that. Mike Vrabel is going to be one of those guys. He can write any ticket he wants.
It's going to be a guy where it's like, I'm giving this guy a chance, and he's going to be grateful I'm giving him a chance, so I'm going to tell him everything he does.
Well, there shouldn't be any. Like I said earlier, now that we're going to start talking about head coaching season hires and all that since the Saints got rid of Dennis Allen, there really should not be anyone who's going to put themselves in a position where they really don't have a fighting chance. And I don't want to say that because I think Dak's a good quarterback, and you've tried to set me straight on CeeDee Lamb that, you know, he's got some limitations. Now he's freaking hurt. They think he can play this week.
Sure.
What a weird situation. But, you know, we've seen it. Bad ownership that won't go away, leaders that won't go away, and no one can talk to them. Like, just stop.
Yeah, I know.
You're old. I mean, I'm not being an ageist, but there are some people who go into their 80s and you're like, my God, sharp as a friggin' tack. And there's others who are like, holy crap, the decline was like, you had it together in 18 months.
Yeah.
You got nothing.
Yeah.
You can't run a team. You don't need to be doing radio interviews after every freaking game. You can't be making picks. You can't be involved in contract negotiations. It's done.
Let's hope they're done.
Do you hope they're done?
Oh, well, yeah.
You hope they're done as a team.
How they lose every game for the rest of their ever.
You should hope that you're like, go, Jerry.
Yeah.
Don't listen to Cofield. You stay around. You run this thing until you're 90.
Exactly.
Good for you, old guy.
Look, you won all those Super Bowls, Jerry. That's because you know what you're talking about.
Now back to Cofield and Company for Monday Night Football at the Front Yard inside Ellis Island Casino on ESPN Las Vegas.
Well, you know, I caught it out of the corner of my eye. It looked like Vita Vea knocked Mahomes down. Let's bring in R.J. Clifford, Autumn Windbags. R.J., I assume Vea got, what, roughing, then a second roughing and tossed from the game for that vicious hit?
Yeah, you can't fart near Patrick Mahomes without being executed, tarred and feathered in front of Roger Goodell, as you should be. Don't go anywhere near him.
I don't think we referenced this last week, but there was a bump in the Raiders-Chiefs game where, of course, Mahomes knows that if he acts a little bit, he's going to get a flag, and, of course, they threw roughing. So, hard to beat him.
I didn't know. I didn't know Texas Tech had such a good acting school, but Patrick Mahomes graduated there. And
I was referencing the commercials earlier, the insurance commercials. Are you a watcher of commercials? Have you seen Andy Reid in his finest performance with his bundle Ruski Do?
He really is, I think, commercially underrated. As much as I want to just hate him and say everything he touches should die, but like, just like the everyman, like he looks like a human walrus with a mustache. Like, I think we can all can relate. He just like loves cheeseburgers and football, and you know, just like, just enjoys his everyman stuff. You know,
that's why I said Greg's against me on this because he thinks it's mean. I think Kermit and the Walrus is catchy. It's an everyman thing. Everyone loves Kermit.
Is that a new morning show on ESPN Las Vegas?
We might just name this show Kermit and the Walrus, and I might do the Kermit voice the entire show.
So I got to be the Walrus? Thanks.
I mean, we're pretty loaded with, like, big fellas.
That's true.
We're consistent. And RJ's followed the show for years and years and years. I generally have people on the show who do tend to slim me. I don't do it on purpose. It's just the way it turns out.
And yet you were the one that did the eating contest. The smallest guy in Cofield and Company did the thing that the fat guys should dominate in. That's pretty unfair.
No, they all wanted to, but it was a UNLV tie-in, so, you know.
Got it.
I had to...
You had to pull rank. I understand.
I had a little bit. They all... Well, I got... Boy, it's funny. I've had people say, great job in that, and everyone on the show was like, boy, you sucked. Okay?
What'd you eat, five?
Look at that. What'd you eat, five?
Yes,
I only ate five. Tie for first or something? Like, you can't argue with results, right?
I did win it, but it wasn't a cavalcade of eating stars I was going against.
Well, you know, all you got to do is beat your competition, you know? Just say scoreboard. Exactly. Just say scoreboard. Exactly.
By the way, Mickey Sudo was supposed to be in that. She was not. She had some health issues. There is a pancake eating contest coming up here in Las Vegas. You're not down with a pancake eating contest, Greg?
I would be out in a couple pancakes. I can't do a lot of pancakes. I don't know why, but it kind of makes me sick.
RJ, you're actually in shape. I assume you can eat in a voluminous fashion.
Voluminous fashion. I wouldn't describe my eating as voluminous. With pancakes, is it better strategy with the butter and syrup? Or do you just dry? Like, what's the strategy with pancakes? Like, I've seen hot dog, but
there's a lot of Chiefs fans here. We're glad to have him here. You know what? Like anything else, any other bready product, you just dip the pancakes in water and try to break them down. It's the only way you can do it. Syrup. Syrup would be a disaster.
Something that just like slides down your throat, you know?
Yeah,
like
I agree.
Like a lozenge.
I think the syrup would help, honestly.
Yeah. I don't think it would.
Yeah. I do too. I think it would. Because it would just go right down.
I think it would turn into like glue.
It's going to be syrupy, like get eat like a pelican. You know what I mean? Just straight down with the pancake and the syrup, maybe a little butter.
Well,
you're the pro here.
I know.
Cofield. Who am I to say?
We've done seemingly before every RJ spot, which is supposed to be Raider-centric, since he does the Autumn Windbags, we just delay. We delay before we have to get to the inevitable.
Let's talk about gluttony first before we talk about a five-fight or a five-game losing
streak. It's my favorite deadly sin.
Number one out of seven.
Yeah, I was going to say, I feel like rooting for the Raiders is a deadly sin. It's going to lead to premature death. All right, give me your overall narrative on this one. We'll get to the coaches getting fired, but this was another one of those games where Raiders can't get a run game going, and then the supposedly reliable part of the team, the defense, just gets freaking torched by Joe Burrow.
Talk about a team where if you're a quarterback that needs a get-right game, just moseying up against the Raiders, and you'll figure it out. Five touchdowns for Joe Burrow. Five. Just make it look easy. didn't have a receiver, missing his tackle, injuries all over the place, and just able to figure it out. Now, you know, the defense isn't the problem per se, right? It's obviously, you know, there's no quarterback situations. Look, let's call a spade a spade. The Raiders have the worst quarterback situation of 32 teams and the worst running back room out of 32 teams, an offensive line that wasn't great to begin with, that's been decimated with injuries. You know, like you said, we'll get to the offensive coordinator situation here in a second. Like, there's not a lot to deal with. So the defense, in fairness, does have a lot on their plate. But you're not getting sacks. You're not getting takeaways. You can only be on the field so long. Defense isn't the problem, but they were supposed to carry this team, and they're just not up to the task to, like, carry an offense that's this bad.
Your thoughts on trying to get some sort of change in energy by firing three of the assistant coaches, including the OC?
Well, it's we've seen this narrative a million times before, right? Antonio Pierce is now coaching for his job. It seems like all reports are saying Mark Davis is confident in him and that we'll give him his chance. Like, all the reports say it's a 2-year deal, and it's something I think you should follow through. I mean, he's been compared to, like, Dan Campbell-ish, like a guy who played in the league, a big player's player, a motivational guy. And Dan Campbell started out 0-10-1 in 2021 and then started out 1-6 in 2022. And we've seen that that's become a great success because he's been given time to make it work. I'm a big believer in Tom Telesco. I think he nailed this draft. I think he nailed Christian Wilkins signing. I don't really knock him terribly for not having a great quarterback situation because I don't think there was any good quarterbacks that were going to come to Las Vegas. I think Telesco's done a pretty good job, but now he's in protection mode, right? You start firing people around you and you start diverting blame. And in fairness, Luke Getsy didn't have a lot to deal with, like I mentioned, the quarterback room, running back room, you know, like that. But you should not have the worst run game in football. You should not have just an atrocious play calling scenario where, like, yeah, you scored touchdowns in 4 of 5 opening drives and then nothing until garbage time. Like, the Raiders are the epitome in fantasy football of don't underestimate garbage time. Jacoby Myers is good for 15 points every single season, every single game, because garbage time, baby. That those garbage time points, they don't matter in fantasy football, right? Whether you're down 46 or 4, garbage time points count. And the Raiders, like, peak that. So, like, even as bad statistically as the Raiders are, they're even worse when half of your yardage and points are coming when the game's already over.
Talking to RJ Clifford, Autumn Wind Bags Podcast. I like that name, by the way.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's cool. Do you think, now coming into the season, I thought they're going to be better than they are. I didn't think they'd be contenders, but I thought they might win 8-9 games just because of the time they still had Devontae and all that stuff. Do you think that they made a huge mistake? This is probably a dumb question, but not going out and just selling the bank for a quarterback? Because, I mean, I still couldn't believe they were going into the season with the quarterback battle of those two guys. It's like, if your quarterback battle is those two guys, then you don't have a quarterback.
Well, again, this is why I don't knock Telesco too bad, because what quarterback did the Raiders not get that would have went there?
Right.
Kirk Cousins was not coming to the Raiders. You're not coming to a squad with an offensive line this bad, a brand new head coach. At the time, he was still available. We didn't have an offensive coordinator. Like, if you're Kirk Cousins, you're not doing that. We weren't trading up to the top three in the draft. Wasn't happening. 0% chance. Like, as much as we love Jaden Daniels and his connection to Antonio Pierce, and that would have been great to have, like, they were not budging. The Washington was not budging from that spot.
Right.
And we can look in hindsight at these, you know, Baker Mayfield and, you know, some quarterbacks that are doing pretty well this season. But if we would have picked those guys up, you know, I think Gardner Minshew didn't pan out in the Raiders because Gardner Minshew isn't great and the Raiders situation isn't great. So even these quarterbacks that are kind of like journeymen that are having some pretty good seasons this year, I don't know if they would have flourished in this Raiders environment. Like, Getsy doesn't have it.
And I'll give you an answer because, you know, you did ask at the start of the comment who could they have brought in. I thought the combo, especially for the money of Tyrod Taylor and Justin Fields, from a money standpoint, would have been better. They wouldn't have been on the hook for I have to look up what Tyrod's deal is because I know he signed $218. I don't know how much was guaranteed, but my guess is that it wasn't as much as Minshew, who has $15 million guaranteed. Both guys are mobile and probably would have helped a run game that is not good and an offensive line that is not good. Again, I'm not saying they're sitting at 6-3 right now, but I think they could have been better. But in the end, they're going to be where they want to be with this quarterback combination, and I would – sadly for the veteran players, I think – Desmond Ridder and others are going to get a lot of playing time here the last nine games or so. But, yeah, the whole situation was weird because they won too many games at the end of last year. If they had, you know, if they had just flopped at the end of last year, then maybe the draft prospects are different. But they're not. And now they're dealing with another year, maybe two more years, of not having an answer at quarterback.
Even Sam Darnold was kind of in that conversation. Like, there were guys that are having good years that the Raiders could have picked up. But, again, like hindsight's easy to look back, but if we signed Sam Darnold, Tyrod Taylor, or Gardner Minshew, would the reaction at that time of the signing be that different? I mean, No. We would have just been like, okay, here's just like a random veteran we're signing for whatever. We have tons of cap space, so guaranteeing $15 million to Gardner Minshew wasn't make or break for us. It wasn't like a giant problem. Like, if it sounds like I'm overly defending Tom Telesco in the quarterback situation, then slap me on the wrist, so be it. But I'm trying to put myself in the position in the off season when the signings were made, and I didn't see a situation where the Raiders are like, oh my God, we obviously blew this great opportunity. We let this guy slip through our fingers. No one wanted to come here. Like, yeah, Luke Getz, like Cliff Kingsbury was like, yeah, I'll be your offensive coordinator. It was in the room for 45 minutes. He was like, no, I don't want to be here. Like, people didn't want to come here, and there weren't even a lot of people available.
Talking to RJ Clifford, we have found out that Antonio Pierce has let go of some coaches. Mm. Is there any chance that Antonio Pierce doesn't make it through the entire season?
There's always a chance, and Mark Davis is very – what's the word? I'm on air in Las Vegas. He's very receptive to fan bases, right? He's very receptive to very specific voices in his ears and very receptive to the general audience. He didn't want to fire Josh. I don't think he wanted to fire Josh McDaniels last season, this season. I didn't think he wanted to. He was paying him a ton. It was a long contract. He was already still on the hook for John Gooden's contract. He's literally paying three head coaches right now. Right now.
Wow.
By all accounts and purposes, Antonio Pierce's deal wasn't that much. He wasn't going anywhere else. Antonio Pierce had no leverage. So I can't imagine firing him would be a giant dent in the pocketbook of Mark Davis. But like I mentioned with Dan Campbell, like I believe in Tom Telesco. I believe in a long-term plan of some kind. But when you're a CEO type of head coach, like he's not offensive coordinator, not defensive coordinator. He's just like overseeing the whole thing. You basically have three responsibilities. Building your coaching squad, which has been terrible. Patrick Graham, the defense, was already there, so he didn't get credit for that. Game management, which is an F, but we kind of expected that. And keeping your team motivated, which I think he's doing okay. I think he's doing okay, considering just how bad this team is playing. He said like the business decision thing, and that was certainly, you know, a blip. That's a wart on his coaching. But with a five-game losing streak, and you still have like Jackson Powers Johnson saying we got this. You still have Max Crosby saying we're working our butt off. Guy's still generally playing hard. You know, that was the one thing he was brought in to do, and he's still kind of doing it. It's just all the other parts of head coaching he just hasn't done. But I think Mark Davis is just so sick of new head coaches, new coordinators every single season. I think AP might just be the beneficiary of his past poor decisions.
RJ Clifford up on Cofield & Company, host of the Autumn Windbags podcast, veteran journalist in the combat sports world.
People didn't see you put your pinky to your mouth when you said it like that.
I know, right?
Combat sports veteran.
Yes. So, from a programming and topic selection standpoint, over the next couple of weeks, you are on a combat channel on Sirius XM, so maybe this is a little bit loaded. Should you be talking more about Mike Tyson and Jake Paul or John Jones and Stipe Miocic?
So, as a proud member of the Steve Cofield coaching tree, I want to ask you that question because – The Tyson Jake Paul thing is obviously spanning a wider net, and it touches a different nerve than a fight like. But this is the other part too. John Jones, Stipe Miocic is goat versus goat, right? The greatest fighter of all time in John Jones, the greatest heavyweight of all time in Stipe Miocic. Obviously, the downside of this fight is Stipe Miocic has been more or less retired for 3 years, and he's not Tom Aspinall, which he's the interim UFC heavyweight champion. You think you'd want that fight? So this isn't so much like a style versus substance battle. I think there's kind of a little bit of sizzle, less steak with both in some ways. Now, I can easily be completely off, and Stipe Miocic has been doing nothing but like push-ups and eating like sticks and berries in his basement for the last 3 years getting ready for John Jones, and I can look like an idiot, but it's you know, it's not like it's Ilya Topuria versus Max Holloway the same weekend, and it's like, guys, this is the cream of the crop mixed martial arts. And if you're into Jake, you're watching Jake Paul, Mike Tyson, you're just a huge noob who's missing out on quality combat sports. There's a little bit of both here going on, but obviously you're right, like Jake Paul, and I think business-wise, it being on Netflix and what that means for combat sports, the UFC's TV rights deal is going to be up next year, and Netflix is now dabbling in pro wrestling, now dabbling in boxing. I think that's the bigger story, is like the business side of what Mike Tyson, wow, Jake Paul means for combat sports.
Good for you. I didn't expect you to answer that way. Obviously, for us with a broad audience, not a laser-focused fight audience, we should be doing Jake Paul and Tyson. I'm interested in both fights. I will tell you, on the Tyson fight, like, there's a small part of me, I was thinking about it again last night, and I'm like, okay, is 58 like really the new 50? Because I do remember watching Larry Holmes fight Butterbean, and I know it doesn't sound like the greatest comparison, but Larry Holmes destroyed Butterbean, and Larry Holmes was like 53 years old because he boxed. And because Larry Holmes, even as an older 50-something, could still throw like 100 jabs around and could outbox Butterbean. I guess my worry with Tyson is if he has stamina. I hope that Tyson doesn't get destroyed. I don't think he will. And I hope the fight's on the up and up. But there are interesting things about the fight. And if Paul walks through him, maybe Jake Paul does deserve to actually fight someone real and just kind of end this whole thing. But I keep saying that every fight.
Have you had like an X's and O's boxing analyst come on your show and like really break down Mike Tyson, Jake Paul? Has it just been like promotional stuff? No. Because how can you? Look, this fight has been postponed several months because Mike Tyson got too sick because he went on a plane.
Yeah.
He didn't go on a safari through the Congo and got sick.
I thought he had ulcer issues, which makes you sound really old.
He went on a plane, Cofield. Yeah. And he got too sick from that experience. He had to stop a giant combat sports fight because he got too sick from going on a plane.
I want to see both fights. So that, because John Jones is a crazy character. I do think he's the GOAT in mixed martial arts in spite of his own action to derail his career. And Tyson one last time, maybe to prove that Jake Paul is a farce, is fascinating as well.
Yeah. I think the repercussions of both fights are big. The business, like I mentioned, the business side of Jake Paul and Mike Tyson is Jake Paul is this thing that's happening that's not unprecedented. Circus matches have been part of combat sports since like the ancient Greeks, but it just kind of comes in cycles. And Jake Paul is the latest version of that. And then with John Jones and Stipe Miocic, is like, does John Jones retire after this? The Tom Aspinall John Jones fight is probably the fight in MMA right now, outside of anything Conor McGregor does. I think that's the fight most MMA fans want to see. The broadcast rights deal that means with Netflix, I think the repercussions of both these fights are very, very big on a business end. Even if you're not geeking out and making sure like the smartest MMA minds are letting you know who's going to be able to slip the jab into a double leg the best.
RJ, great job. I appreciate you coming on. I'm not, you know, like announcing the end of the road here, right? But I do appreciate you coming on when the Raiders are playing at a pretty bottom level right now. Thank you, buddy.
Is my reign here on Monday nights over when the Raiders are terrible? Like, do I die when they die? Like, when their playoff hopes are done, are you done with me?
Sports talk radio, man. Sports talk radio. Now losing actually kind of sometimes bumps things up. So hope for the future. We'll see how the next couple of games go. Thanks, RJ.
Thanks, guys.
364-1100. Caller 7 and 8, 364-1100. We got that NIL tournament coming into town, Players Era Basketball Tournament. Thanksgiving week, 26th, 27th, and the 30th. It's over at MGM Grand Garden Arena. AXS.com features two of the top five teams in the country playing in a big field. Houston and Alabama are awesome. Also features potentially two of the top five picks in the NBA draft. We got tickets right now for both Tuesday and Wednesday. Two winners, caller 6 and 7, caller 6 and 7, caller 6 and 7, 364-1100.
Cofield and Company presents Grab Bag on ESPN Las Vegas.
Stick your hand in there, dude.
I like it. I like it. Underdog Buccaneers on the move. I was telling you, a couple of my friends were coming out. They're loud against a sea of Chiefs fans. Come on down here, even it out. And if you're a Chiefs fan, you're welcome to. Front Yard, Ellis Island. We'll be here until 8 o'clock, and then I'll be heading over to Thomas and Mack. Tonight, there is a doubleheader. There is a doubleheader with the Lady Rebels tipping off at 6:30 in their opener against Loyola Marymount, and then the Runner Rebels go at 8:30 against Alabama State. And it looks like DJ Thomas will probably give it a go. Now, if he plays a lot of minutes, I'm not sure, but he had an ankle injury he suffered a couple weeks ago. So get out there, buy the tickets now if you want for the ladies, and the tickets are just $6. UNLVtickets.com for both. Back in the bag.
Stick your hand in there, Dave.
You were cringing on the 8:30 start.
Yeah, seems late.
Well, they wanted to do a doubleheader, and the women get their space. They start at 6:30. Three-time defending Mountain West Conference champions last 2 years in the NCAA tournament. So they will start things off, and the men go after that.
Prime time.
And then the men will bounce back this weekend to take on Memphis. So basketball's here. There's like 85 college basketball games tonight for the men.
Yeah.
Time to read up. There's a lot to get into. That sports transfer portal is freaking crazy. So, like I said, the Bucks on the march here, beginning of the second quarter, and they are at the 21 on a second and 8. Do you have any interest in the fights I was talking about? The Tyson-Paul? Do you think that's just an absolute joke?
I would have interest in it if it was a real fight, but it's not. I've seen these ridiculous Jake Paul, amateur, stupid exhibitions, whatever you want to call them, and they're not real fights. So if I knew Tyson was going to go in there and actually have a chance to, like, knock him out, then yeah.
And that's my one bit of hesitation, is it feels like there's been sort of a back-end bonus, like, hey, Jake Paul opponent, fight hard, but wink, wink.
Right.
You got a good payday here.
Exactly.
And we want the Jake Paul business to continue to roll on.
I mean, even when Tyson fought Roy Jones, which I thought was ridiculous, it was almost like in school where you're like, all right, no hitting in the face. You know, like one of those types of things before the fight. I mean, if it's not a real fight, I got no interest.
In the back?
Stick your hand in there, Dave.
Well, I know Griffin's answer. I know he's into Jones and Miocic. Again, that's coming up in a couple of Saturdays. Did you see Joe Kelly talking trash?
No.
Joe Kelly, the relief pitcher, who I'm not going to say is Draymond Green, but sort of acts like Draymond Green. And by Draymond Green, I mean maybe along for the ride at times on championship teams.
Oh, yeah.
Now, Draymond Green is a very good player in this era, and he has a lot of intangibles. Joe Kelly, to me, is the guy who is a sixth-inning guy who can throw 100 miles an hour, but you can't rely on him with his great stuff to be anything but, because he's so inconsistent. But I'm sure he's probably an interesting guy in the clubhouse. I'm sure he's a spark plug. You know, he talks. He's whatever. He's a personality. He said on his podcast of the Yankees-Dodgers matchup that it was a mismatch from the get-go. If we had a playoff re-ranking, they might have been ranked 8th or 9th best playoff team. You're putting the Padres, the Phillies, the Mets, the Braves ahead of them. Guardians played like crap. They'd be ahead of them. But he also said, we have a lot of big superstars in our clubhouse, but our superstars also care and aren't lazy and play hard.
Yeah, you're not one of the superstars, so nobody cares, loser. If they didn't win that, they didn't lose that first game, you wouldn't have a ring right now. And if it wasn't for Freddie Freeman, you'd be working out at McDonald's. So, whatever, dude. Easy to talk now. Punk.
I figured that might set you off. I thought you might actually lean into, you know, they are lazy, the fundamentals of the defense.
I'm really mad at the Yankees for losing, but, dude, shut up, bro. You're nobody.
Of all guys doing
it. Yeah, you're the little guy in the background of all the big guys. Like, I'll fight you. Like, no, you won't. Chump.
Come on down. Front Yard, Ellis Island. We got a good game with the Chiefs and the Buccaneers. Lots of prizes to give away. And, of course, great specials here. I mean, come on. The craft beer here is dynamite. Awesome menu. We'll see you.